All-Star Weekend was cool. I mean, it didn't have its regular glitz and glamour as usual, you know, with the big crowds and the star-studded events and the celebrity basketball games and performances and stuff like that. But it was cool, though. I mean, I was 2 for 5. Shit, the skills challenge, I thought Chris Paul was gonna win that though, so I didn't get that pick. But I knew it was gonna probably be a big dude. I should have just followed my soul, which I never go against my soul. Most people call it their gut, but I know it's the soul speaking to me. I know the soul's been here way before my vessel has been here. It was probably in some, you know, player back in the days, back in the prehistoric ages, in the medieval ages, and the 20s, probably like a jazz singer. It was probably floating around in one of those guys. So I know I got a ill soul that, you know, knows what it is, but kind of went against my soul. I picked Chris Paul, but Sabonis, he did his thing. Sabonis got a J too, so I know I should have went with Sabonis, but he did his thing. And then when we get to like the 3-point contest, I knew Steph Curry was gonna get that one, so I got that one right. And I'm not saying Steph Curry was going to get it because he the best shooter, but I'm just saying I knew Steph Curry was going to get it because it wasn't a lot of distractions this year. And I know he would probably be able to just like, you know, concentrate it, you know, like on just out shooting everybody like they in practice or something. It wasn't like they had to go to media day and stuff like that and play around with kids all day and do all this crazy stuff, go to practice and do all that. So I knew he was gonna be able to just, it was like a regular day of practice for them, so I knew he was gonna win that one. And the dunk contest, Anthony Simons won that one. The Portland Trail Blazers, congratulations to him as well. And he's like only the second Anthony I've ever known. First one was Anthony Hardaway. But a lot of people saying that the dunk contest wasn't really all that spectacular this year, but I ain't gonna hold you. I didn't even really watch it. I ain't gonna even hold you. I mean, I was watching it. I was looking at it, but I wasn't watching it. You get what I'm saying? It's like the TV was on, but I was like listening to music and stuff. So, I'm not gonna even hold you. He did a couple good dunks. He had the kiss the rim, and then he had the joint where he put the little ball up on the. I mean, he had the little hoop up on the backboard. He set the ball up there. He grabbed it off the little hoop. That was kind of ill. But I seen a couple of dunks that was crazy. But I mean, nothing like anything in the past. But it's hard to dunk a basketball, you know. So props to those dudes, even though they like 7 feet, but still, just to be creative and do stuff that nobody has ever done. What I'm saying is, it's very hard to come up with new stuff unless you're a professional dunker. If that's something that you just do all day, of course you're gonna come up with creative stuff. It's like being a musician. But if it's just something that you just do every once in a while, and you really concentrate on other things, you're not gonna be that creative. So props to him though. And I thought I had Team Durant, but yeah, we got spanked. Steph and Dame was going off in the All-Star game, and I kind of like that new format where they just, you gotta win each quarter, and then at the end you gotta get to like a target point. So that was kind of crazy. I like that new format. So it kind of makes people play the whole game instead of like messing around for the first 3 quarters and then playing hard in the fourth quarter, so they was just balling through the whole game. So I like that whole change right there. And that's one, that's two, that's three, that's four. And then they're saying, what do you mean you was 2 out of 5? I'm talking about my guy LaMelo Ball. I told you he was gonna be a standout all-star this year, and he wasn't an all-star on the all-star team, but he did make the Rising Stars roster, which I think they should have played, but they didn't play, but they should have played. But as a freshman, you know, a rookie coming into his class, he broke a record and he made the Rising Stars roster. And I know basketball junkies, that's a no-brainer, but people who don't watch basketball probably thought he was going to be more like his brother. I knew that he was going to come in and, you know, do some work, because he had been just messing up everybody in high school, and when he went overseas, he was getting busy. So I knew he was going to come in the NBA and do something. He broke a record that was standing for the last 60 years. He was the first rookie to ever lead his whole class in points, rebounds, assists, and steals in all four categories. So, Rookie of the Year should be unanimous this year. I mean, it's obvious. He's leading everybody in all categories. His team is in the playoffs. And he starts for his team. So, congrats to him. LaMelo Ball, man. I hope he gets crazy, but he probably not gonna get a championship this year, because them Nets. And speaking of them Nets, boy, we got Blake Griffin. He joined the Nets. Congrats. Welcome to the squad, Blake. And, everybody like, yo, man, so what? Blake Griffin is a superstar, whether you want to accept it or not. I mean, he not jumping over Kia's no more, but he probably jumping over Daewoo's now. But he's still jumping over something. You know, he got injured in the past, but that's all he got to do is take one of them Kobe trips over to Germany for about a month. Get some load management going, because he don't need to be playing that many minutes right now. He was on the Pistons and they needed him, so he don't really have to play that many minutes. So he gonna be right back to his regular self. Lob, well, actually 2/3 of Lob City. And I know Westbrook and Chris Ball is like, yo man, they just really envying Kyrie right now, because Kyrie got KD and he got the beard. That was the two people of the trio that Westbrook had, and now he got Blake Griffin and DeAndre, and that was 2/3 of the Lob City trio. So that five is gonna be crazy. Kyrie, James Harden, KD, Blake Griffin, and the big man DeAndre Jordan in the middle. I knew it was a lock before. Now I just might as well just give us the trophy now, and just, it should be like simulation. It should just, y'all should just give us our rings and the trophy right now, and then once y'all give us the rings and the trophy, we just play the rest of the games, just, you know, just to see how the other teams, who gonna come in second or who gonna come in third or whatever. But it's a lock. It's over. And I'm just feeling so excited right now. I'm going to go to that I don't know if we're going to have a parade, but I'm definitely going to go to that parade, you know. But it's going to be feeling really good to see that chip in Brooklyn. And I look forward to congratulating them boys, you know, just complete the objective, man. The universe did this for you. Accept it and just don't think about it. Just play your game. And anything that's in your way will move or will fall, because the universe wants this for you. Go Brooklyn. And Man, just can't believe that shit. Speaking of Brooklyn, man, I watched that B.I.G. Documentary on Netflix, Story to Tell. And man, I just want to say, Bad Boy, thank you. D-Rock, thank you for having all that footage. Because, man, I never really got to, like, I mean, I know Big from his music, whatever, but I never really got to, like, go to like a concert and like see him live or like see him in person and stuff just to see what it would be like. So they kind of captured a lot of stuff. So that was crazy. And I just wanted to see what he would be like in concert. Would he be like ripping? And they had like a lot of concert footage. So D-Rock and Bad Boy, thank you, man. And it was kind of like ill to see they had a lot of footage of the neighbor, one of the neighborhoods I grew up in, Clinton Hill. And Clinton Hill is right next to like Fort Greene. And I used to be in Clinton Hill like every day when I was a kid, like every single day. Like I said, I never seen Biggie or anything, but I used to see Junior Mafia around. And it was so nostalgic. They had like Easy Mo B, they had all the jazz musicians that used to be all up in there. And when I was growing up and being around in Clinton Hill and Brooklyn and Fort Greene, it was very cultural. Like, yeah, it was a lot of it was a great environment for creative people. And that's, I always was a creative child when I was little. Like, I knew how to, like, I was really artistic. But that kind of like being in that neighborhood kind of like brought out the best in me. And just want to say thank you, man, for clearing all that stuff, Miss Wallace. And he was very, very, very well put together. And it's just one moment in the documentary. So when Juicy drops, it was like, see, the documentary goes on for a long time, but once Juicy drops in a documentary, if you don't feel something, you're not hip hop. Cause they built it up to that, and then once that song drops, you gotta feel it when that song drops in that documentary. And it just felt good, you know, seeing this whole story told by the people that was really like with him like every day. Instead of like journalists and no, this story is like real footage when he was like walking around as like a little 7-year-old kid and 10-year-old kid and 12-year-old kid. It builds it all the way up to when he died, from when he was like 2 years old. Or like 3 years old, like all footage, like real stuff. So I was like, yo, this is crazy. I love that documentary. That's the best big documentary I've ever seen in my life. And we gonna rate it too. The G rating system. You know it's a six if I'm ranting and raving. So I'm just gonna say all categories get a capital G. And I'm just gonna name the categories. It was very well put together. It was definitely media friendly. Looked good. It was shot well. All the footage that was restored, it was done very well. Even though I'm an editor and I'm a colorist and I'm really meticulous about stuff like that, but it was definitely industry standard. It was definitely done well. It wasn't like some amateurs put it together. Was it interesting? Did it keep my interest? Of course it did. It's B.I.G., my neighborhood. He had all the people that he grew up with, all the people he used to hustle with. Had crazy stories about them going down south to hustle, all the stuff they used to do in the neighborhood, which is facts. They wasn't embellishing because I used to be around all that stuff too when I was little, and they described the neighborhood to a T. Like, you know how you really get those movies that describe like the way the West Coast neighborhoods were and the way LA is? You never really get that in New York. They always like try to start where it was like they start with like a big kingpin or something. They never really get to the griminess of like the hustlers and everything, which they did it a little bit in Money and Violence, but then that show went kind of other direction. So I don't know. I thought that was gonna be the show that was gonna really show the dark side of what the city is. But they always try to go to like a kingpin or like it's like too glamorized. Like, And I know people was getting money, but they never really show like and talk about what was really going on with like the low level hustlers, like The Wire or something. Which is maybe I'm gonna do that. I definitely want to do that. But they definitely got into a little bit about that. You know, it was crazy the way they was talking about it. It was very nostalgic. Which leads me to was it relatable? Of course, it was relatable. Like I said, it was very nostalgic. It made me think about stuff that used to go on when I was little. People getting robbed, people boosting, people making money, you know, selling drugs and stuff. And they wasn't like selling crazy keys. They was like getting grams off and copping and, you know, just getting clothes and stuff like that. And they was talking about all that stuff. Like very, it was like very intricate and very detailed. I could tell it wasn't the way they talked about it. I could tell it wasn't just like they was like taking it from a movie or just somebody else, you know, telling them from word of mouth. It was probably something that they was really involved in, and they talked about it, and it was, you know, it's very relatable. Was it relevant? Definitely relevant. It's March 9th. Of course it's relevant. Who don't love B.I.G., man? Gotta be a fool if you don't love B.I.G. And even though it's what, 24 years after he died, still, you know, this couldn't wait till 2022 and have it be a 25th anniversary. So I'm glad they did it 24 years, because that's a good number. 24 is a nice number, and it's very relevant. We needed that. We needed something to look at and be inspired, especially kids that are artistic and kids that grow up and have that artistic bug, and they really delved into Biggie's artistic nature. And I don't want to really tell you everything about it, but once you see this documentary, you see mostly all the stuff that people talked about, or all the rumors and stuff. All that stuff was put to rest because they show the real B.I.G. and they have like the receipts. They have the actual footage of him and the actual people that were mentoring him and stuff. So you really get to see who he really, 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 really was. And it's very inspirational to any kid who's coming up and is very artistic, and they want to kind of pursue this career as a musician or as a anything in the arts. And I really liked it, that point of view that they showed. Was it original? I mean, of course, it's a documentary, so it's gonna be done documentary style. But it was original because it wasn't just a bunch of people sitting around just like analyzing them. It was people that he grew up with, his family, his grandmother, his mother, people that put him on, his DJs, people that first recorded him. It was like real people. It wasn't like some like I work for this magazine and when I interviewed him. Nah, it was like people that was like in like the kindergarten with him, telling the story. So it was very original the way it was done, and I love that part of it. And did they rip it? Of course they ripped it. Definitely. They killed it, man. Like I said, especially that part when Juicy dropped, cause they built it up, and then when you hear that shit, you just like, oh man, it's like one of those. It's like the climax in a movie of the documentary, shall I say, when Juicy drops. And I'm not gonna tell you when it drops, but if you don't, like I said, if you don't feel something when Juicy drops, you're not hip hop. Don't at me. And I love hip hop, man. I love people that can rap. I love rhymers, man. I love people that spit from their soul. And speaking of the people that spit from their soul, Smack had two events this weekend. He had the super fight, which I did. I didn't do a prediction, but I just said the matches, and then we'll recap the matches. The matches were Danny Myers versus Kid Chaos, Run Nitty versus Holmesy the God, B-Dot versus Shotgun Suge, and Real Sick versus Mike P. Now, I'm kind of debating. I don't really want to say who I thought won and who I think didn't win. But I'll just say with this, Cause everybody was just so good. Everybody was so good in the super fight. I mean, nobody choked, nobody barely even stumbled. And if they did, they got it right back. It wasn't like everything, and a lot of people just spit their stuff flawless. So I'm gonna tell you performances that I liked that are probably, candidates for round of the year, as if I gotta go back and look at the performances, cause this is all our first watch, and everybody was did really well. But I liked kind of like Danny Meyer's material was very lean to the point, and he did something similar to the Who Am I stuff, and to the Who Am I verse that he's currently leading the pack in as round of the year. Even though DNA almost caught him with that third round against Av, but that Who Am I verse is just so transcending, it's gonna take a lot to get that out of here. So he's still leading the pack with Who Am I, and he did something similar to that, and he killed it again as usual. Love, but Kid don't Kid Chaos did his thing though. But I like Danny Meyer's material a little bit better. Rum Nitty did not disappoint as usual. And I'm not saying that he 30'd Homzy the God or whatever, but and Homzy the God's material was very good too as well. But I just liked some of the stuff Rum Nitty was saying. Like, he had this one bar that was similar to the my favorite Rum Nitty bar of all time. Actually, should I say favorite one Rum Nitty scheme of all time, load rounds for cousin. I saw Ill in the lobby. I grabbed the nose running, I'm coming down with something. He had a similar one to that. He's like, he upped the nose with the sticks, he shut the whole event down, he that positive. Yeah, that shit was crazy. I was like, oh my god, this dude did it again. And it's like, just when you think he gonna run out of stuff, he's like me, like, I'm a great writer. Like, it's endless things to talk about. So you gonna always find something to write about, and he has that skill. And that's what I like about Run Meta. He has that skill as well. And not only does he have that, I could talk about endless things because I know how I could just think of different ways to say it. I don't care what you say, you said it that way, but when I say it, I'm gonna say it way different. And I'm gonna make sure I say it better. And he has that skill. And he also has that performance skill too. So when you put those two together, that's why he tearing shit up right now. So I like this stuff a little bit better. The Beat Out and Suge battle, that's definitely a preference battle. I like them both. I like Beat Out and I like Suge. So, I didn't really call a winner for that. I just called that classic. And just let them rock like that. They both said a lot of ill stuff. I just can't remember it off the top of the head. I'm kind of faded. I've been, chilling. You know what I do. But I can't call it off first verse. So I just call, I mean, off first watch. So I just call that a classic. And if we go into Real Sick versus Mike P, I call that a classic as well too. Cause I don't know, man. Real Sick is really impressing me right now. And Mike P, he's always been ill. And kind of suggested that they should like team up together now that they had that fade. They'll be kind of ill together, but Beat Out is teaming up with Real Sick right now, but like in the future as like a permanent like a a group or whatever. That would be crazy if Real Sick teamed up with Mike P, because Mike P is from Strong Island. He repping Strong Island, and Real Sick is repping Jersey, so it would be easy for them to write together. So they would be able to probably do some damage, and they would be repping the East Coast. So that would be crazy if they got together. And the other event where people were spitting from their soul, it's Kings versus Queens. Man, that event was crazy. I love that event as well. Every match was crazy. Everybody came and did their thing. Everybody was on point with their material. You know? And I don't think I should call winners for this one as well. But I just tell you whose material I like better. I'm not going to say either one won because it's kind of a preference if you listen to it. I don't know what people, you know, might judge by. So I'm not going to say this person won, this person won. If you want to judge it, you have to watch it for yourself. I'll just tell you who I like based on the type of MCs I like. And you know the type of MCs I like. So first match, JC versus Lady Flames. I like JC stuff a little bit more. Lady Flames was fire, just as her name suggests. She killed it. But JC is the god, you know. And JC was doing his thing. I knew JC was special when he was like Nike or Timberland. Face the tree or get your chin checked. When he said that line in his his Proving Grounds battle against Cilla Jones, I knew he was special, and ever since then he'd been killing shit. So he definitely did his thing. So I just liked his material a little bit more. And the second match, which was Loso versus the Woman of the Year, Vixen the Assassin. Now, everybody was trying to disrespect Loso. I always knew Loso was a heavy spitter. They was trying to disrespect him because Vixen had won Woman of the Year, so nobody had Loso winning. But he killed it. I liked his material a little bit more. You know, even Vixen, she's ill. She's ill with freestyling. She's ill with aggression. She's got nice wordplay. She's crazy. But Loso shut it down with a haymaker that would have probably shook the building. He probably had that round where he spit his haymaker is definitely a candidate for a round of the year. He said something crazy. I don't even want to say the line because it's going to take you so much by surprise. If you're a Battle Rap fan, that's going to probably be your favorite line for the year. So I'm not going to say the line. I'm going to let you probably watch the battle or look online. They probably got like highlights of him waiting because I don't want to be the one to spoil it for you. But he said something to her about, you know, the way she acts toward different people. And that shit shook the whole room. Everybody was just like, ah. And I know she was feeling it in her soul. He was talking to her, so, man. But she's so dope, though. And I love the way she raps, so, shouts to Loso, man. I just like this stuff a little bit more better. Now, Coffee versus T-Top. Even T-Top, my guy. It's my G, T-Top, man. Never going against T-Top. But, and this one, too, man. This one was a classic. I couldn't call it. Coffee, she's dope too, man. She came in there looking good in her outfit, you know. And then, see, Coffee, she's very, I wouldn't say she's deceptive, but she can make you take your guard down when you look at her. But then she's so aggressive, she'll fucking neutralize you. So like, if you trying to like line somebody up, you know, if you went to that, she would be perfect for that. Cause you know, you look at her, she look like she probably couldn't hurt you, but then out of nowhere, bow. Or should I say, and that was a classic, man. They was getting busy, man. From beginning to end, And I'm not even gonna say from the coin flip because it was something special that happened during the coin flip. I was like, yo, this is gonna be a goodie right here. So from beginning to end, it was action packed. They wasn't letting off. They was on each other like it was like a pit bull fighting. It was crazy. They was locking on each other. And it was very close with the votes too. And I think it was a classic. To me, it's a classic. I call it a classic. It was even down the middle. I'm not gonna call a winner for that one. And I'm not gonna say who I like better. To like them both equally. The fourth match was Hustle, Miss Hustle, shall I say, versus Averb. And Averb is fire, but I had Miss Hustle. I liked her a little bit better. I'm not saying she won because maybe you liked something that Averb was spitting, so it wasn't a loss or anything. But man, Miss Hustle, she from Harlem, you know. She was looking good. You know, he was flamed out. She was flamed up with all red on her. You know, she was looking good, man. And she came to play, man. She let Verb have it, so. And so I went with Hustle. I liked Hustle a little bit more with that one. And she said a lot of crazy stuff, yeah. Oh man, see. I'm not the normal recap person. Like I don't like to tell you all their lines, cause I don't want you to. I don't want it. To, I don't want to spoil it for you. I like people to be surprised. I'm one of those people that like to see people surprised. Like I might come in and buy you something just to see the look on your face, or I might do something for you, or have somebody else do something for you, cause I like to see people genuinely surprised. It's a good feeling. So, I'm not gonna spoil it for y'all, but she said a lot of ill stuff. So, if you wanna be entertained, go watch that battle for her material. She got crazy. And the last match was Tay Rock versus Official. Now, this was one that was like very hard to call until the third round. I like Official a little bit more. And they said, how can official this is she was battling Rock. I've been nice since I was 16, nigga. You wasn't nice when you was 16, nigga. When he battled that nigga when he was like 16, I was like, so I've been watching Rock since he was little. And he came in there and it was 1-1 going into the third. Official went first. Got off, it was crazy. And then Rock spit his verse. And then I wasn't really feeling it like that. He was roasting her. He kind of roasted her at all. And you gotta watch it. But it wasn't like it was more or less like roasting when it wasn't as creative as he usually is. You know, it was like kind of like he took that round off. I can't really explain it, but it seemed like he was more focusing on the jokes than on being like lyrical. It wasn't like a lyrical verse, even though it did rhyme, but it wasn't like nothing like the seatbelt line, nothing like his material for Mook. Like he wasn't like taking it like he was really trying to fuck her up. But the first two rounds, he was really going for, and he should have kept it like that in the third. And that's why I kind of liked him. And I'm only saying this because this is the main event, and I kind of want you to go watch it so you can see what I'm talking about. But it was the main event. And I just kind of liked Official. I liked her bars a little bit more in that third, so I gave it to her. I kind of liked her a little bit more. So that's it, man. Kings 2, Queens 2, and one tie. So the whole event was a tie. That's how I felt. Don't at me. I love battle rap, man. Everybody know I love battle rap. And I have been listening to all the diss tracks. They've been going back and forth. And I noticed, man, people wasn't really showcasing these diss tracks like that, man. It was a lot of heat coming out. So then I was like, it's kind of hard to keep up with all this stuff. So what I did was I compiled all the tracks, and I put them on my channel, my Nick GDOD channel. It's not monetized, so I'm not trying to get bread off the videos or nothing like that. I just wanted to put all the tracks in one place, so y'all could, like, you know, listen to everything. And it's the year 100 track list. Everybody know what year is. It's one of my nicknames, one of my acronyms, you know, the YUEAH, yeah, which stands for Y, yeah, you, ultimate, E, entertainer, A, and H, hustler, your ultimate entertainer and hustler. And that's why I say, yeah, boy. And I put that little track list together, and I got timestamps, so if you got a favorite, you can just go back to your favorite track and timestamp it. And in the future, you know, I'm probably going to go back to doing mixtape soon, or should I call it something else? No, it's probably going to be something else. So I say I'm going to go back to doing track lists, you know, put my presence on them, you know. And because I know people missing that. I don't know people like stuff like that. So when I'm not busy, sometimes I'm start, you know, compiling some of my favorite tracks together. And yeah, 100 is the favorite one. Is my favorite battle rap diss tracks for now. And that's the first one. And I'm gonna come out with a few of them. Come out with the Yeah series, like I do the Love series, like I do the Knicks Boom Boom Boom. The next Boom 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 series, you know. And I got a couple more series out, Strict It, and I got a couple more series coming out, and that's just another one right there, the Year series. And stay tuned, fuck with it. And I'm also doing video still, so see you when I see you. Yep. Yeah.